to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen. You love him today?
Holy, holy, holy. Glory. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
And we used to say, turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. So let's just say, God bless you, 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 God bless you. No sneezing now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all you out there in the parking lot. It was full this morning. And that's good. We need to stay in a routine. Remember, we're sheep. We have to be led. We have to do. We have to do due diligence. We don't want the devil. He's getting enough place now. Let's don't give him a full place. Let's cut him off at the pass. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's see. The only announcement I have is now, according to the state of Georgia, starting, I think, Tuesday or somewhere in there, we're going to be able to meet some more than usual. Well, I just think now we need to kind of stay with all the men. Just I make an announcement now that all the men can come on Sunday and Wednesday if you want to, and then we'll work into week by week, we'll work in to see if, and I hate it, but I just feel that's the way we ought to do it. I've been thinking about it all week, and Brother Dale's the same way. We just need to be diligent. I noticed he put prayer cloth over all the doors, and that's good. We believe that. We just want to make sure that we're doing the right thing and don't cause any concern. I don't want anybody to get this thing. And now we know people that do have it, and Gainesville's become a hot spot because of people not social distancing and all that other stuff. We were talking about this the other day. You know, they were condemning President Trump for some of the things he said. But, you know, this virus is killed by soapy water. It doesn't take this great big washdown of radiation, you know, radiation chemicals. Wash your hands. And then now they're telling us that UV light and sunlight kills it in less than a minute. So the reason I'm saying this is if we decide to start bringing this thing back according to what I see on the news and watching the real, not news, but watching what the officials are saying, like health officials, that you might want to wear a mask if you want to, but if you have that mask and you want to get rid of the virus, lay it out in the sunshine. Just within a few minutes, it'll kill the virus on the thing. But remember, be careful when y'all are putting these masks on, because your hands, that's why they're telling people now that if you're sick, wear the mask so that you don't make somebody else sick. Okay? Don't wear the mask to keep from getting sick, because you could lay the thing down here. Somebody could walk by and go chew, and then here you go and put the thing on and you got it. So the best thing to do is if you're sick, don't come. But if you do have the sneezing and the sniffles and the coughs or whatever, you probably need to wear a mask to protect me. Not to protect you, but to protect me. And that way we can we can get rid of these things. Like Brother Dale said, it's attacking bodies. And it's attacking the sick, a lot of the sick people. And we know how it's affecting the minority population. And we hate that. We're just going to keep praying that God will stay this thing. And it'll be over. It ain't going to all be over, but it'll be over as much as we, so we can get back to church, so that we can get back to, and I told June the other day, I said, I don't believe I ever touched my face until they told us not to touch your face. My nose itched, the whole, Danny, I'll be out there delivering mail, and my nose, it'd be like feathers all over my nose, you know. Yeah. So anyway, but the Lord bless you. Do the due diligence. You know, even if we washed our hands more and if we hand sanitized and if we did this more often, we wouldn't get a common cold. Because the common cold is affected the same way. It passes from person to person. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, verse 10. We're going to continue on the journey of a believer. This is part 9, but we're going to talk about the book of Ruth. So if you got your Bibles, you want to stay there. If not, Brother Anderson's going to have it. We're going to go like we did in Genesis, probably verse by verse. If we get finished, we do. If we don't, see there, I go touching my face again. There. So anyway, hand sanitizer. We're going to go to Corinthians, but we're going to talk about the book of Ruth, because to me, the book of Ruth, and you'll see what Brother Brown says about this. I found this quote that that you'll really enjoy, because the book of Ruth is really not about, it's kind of like the book of Esther. There's really not a lot to do with God and redemption and all, but it's all full of it. Brother Branham said this is one of the greatest chapters or books in the Old Testament that talks about Christ, the church, and all the different settings as the same way as the great story of Esther. So you got Ruth and Esther in the Bible. Doesn't mention God a whole lot in the book of Ruth, but it tells the whole plan of redemption to me. And it gives all the four journeys, as we were talking about the other day, sitting outside. We know as Christians, I want you to get this in your mind, we know as Christians that it's justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost makes you a born-again believer. All right? But then, in the end time, and as Brother Dale's been talking about the Son of Man, there is something extra that we get, because we'll look at it in just a minute, that the four combat beasts, lion, ox, man, and eagle, so it takes four stages to bring us back to full redemption. And then, Lord willing, if I do finish this Sunday, next Sunday, we want to go back in the Old Testament and talk about Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Because then that shows the whole plan of redemption for us, and showing what they got, because some went over the end of the possessed land and some did not. But they still went over and fought and come back. So it's really a beautiful type. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to read this first, and then we'll go into the book of Ruth. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today we pray that, number one, that you'll save lost souls, because that's the most important thing. This wall down below my feet is full of names of loved ones and friends and family and husbands and wives and children of people that are not in the fold. And we pray, Lord, that you would do a supernatural soul healing first. And then we ask, Lord, those that have already went across into the promised land, Lord, that you'd give us rest in these bodies, that you'd take all the sickness away and keep all the sickness away, that you would bless, Lord, this congregation in the inside and on the outside and the ones that are watching in. The little bride around the world, Lord, we've come to a place to where we all now at one time within the last 2 months, it has affected every person on the face of this earth in some way or the other. So it has affected the bride. But as Brother Dale says, we're built for this. We're astronauts. We're built for this pressure. We're built for this time. And we've come to a place to where we need to learn more about you, Father. The days are getting shorter, and we pray that you'd just bless now. give us supernatural revelation, give us supernatural healing, and Lord, bless us as we go about our jobs. Lord, that we'll do what we need to do, and as they open this thing back up, Lord, that you will just stay this plague, Father. That you will take, Lord, as we did in the there in the book of Genesis and all the different places and Exodus and the different things that as plagues would come, Moses and Aaron would stand and run through the crowd with a censer. Well, Lord, we have the Word of God. We have the written Word of God, the censer of the day that we can send out among the people. And, Lord, that it'll stay this thing and help us, Lord. All of humanity, not just the bride, Lord. We know you're going to take care of the bride, but we pray for just people that are dying left and right, Lord, that don't know you, Father. We pray for those people and those families, the ones that are in the hospital, ones that are sick, ones on Brother Dutch Scott's prayer list, and especially touch Brother Dutch there, Father's still trying to recover from those tick bites, Lord. We pray that you just be with him, Father. Give us our daily bread today and make us strong and healthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this Journey of Believer, Part 9, this is Ruth. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, now this is who? This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, that one thing for sure, Paul knew that Old Testament up one side and down the other. He knew every movement. I mean, he was right there, knew the scrolls back and forward, so he knew what went on. But now what he's trying to do is take that group of people and bring the examples to him, or to us as Christians. Because look, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now remember, this looks great, but watch what he's saying. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual. In other words, every person drank of those miracles. Every person was affected by those miracles. But with many of them, verse 5, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They all died except for two. Now, these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day. 23,000 people, because of fornication, died. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Remember, they said they didn't want to eat the manna anymore, so God sent them quail, and then he also sent them serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, here's my point. Now, all these things, what we've been talking about of Abraham, what we're getting ready to talk about Ruth, and all these different movements in the Old Testament. Now, all these things happened unto them for example. And they are written for our admonition. Who? Upon who? Us. Our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so it's talking directly to me and you. This is the end of the world. We see the end of the world coming, so all these things are for our admonition. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. If you want to turn to the book of Ruth, you can, or we're going to read it from here. But let's go down first, because we're going to try to parallel this. Oh, my, y'all put lines on there. Thank you. These guys are good. So now let's, before we begin, let's get our mindset on this as being a Sunday school lesson. Are a little bit of teaching here. The journey of Abraham, we've already been through the journey of Abraham. We went through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I put the new birth because, remember, you can have the Holy Ghost on your flesh, on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. I'm talking about the new birth. I'm talking about the faith of Abraham. What did Brother Brown say? We were talking about last Sunday. God, the faith of Abraham, God gave him a seal of circumcision as a sign of Abraham's faith. So Brother Branham said, God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a what? As a sign of your faith that you believe that that's what God's going to do. But now remember, we also had to go through where that Abraham, 10 or 11 years old, later than that, 12 years later, took his son, his only son, up to a mountain. Everybody see what I'm talking about? Up to a mountain and placed him, not really placing Abraham, but he did look at Abraham and he said, Abraham, I know now. I know now, Abraham, that that faith is grounded. Now, did God need to know that? No, he needed Abraham to know that. Amen. That Abraham, so a placing or adoption is your fourth. Is that all right? Because the fourth stage, a lot of people don't get to the fourth stage. A lot of people didn't get to the fourth stage. As Brother Dale was talking about, the Son of God. Listen, the Son of God requirement is this right here. That's what was required down through the seven church ages, is for them to get justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. A little bit of teaching in the first few church ages, but now Columba wasn't required to be adopted. Luther wasn't required. Wesley wasn't required. Pentecost wasn't required. But you and I, because of the Son of Man, because remember, this comes to this guy. Full adoption or full redemption. We're going to see this also in the book of Ruth, because you see the journey of Ruth. You got to look at it in four stages. Just if you've got a Scofield Bible, even Scofield picks it up. That it's Ruth what? Deciding. What did Abraham do? He decided.
Right.
All right. Ruth serving. What sanctification?
Right.
Cleaned and set aside for serving or service. Everybody got that?
Right.
All right. Then you got the Holy Ghost with the new birth, with us, the circumcision. You got Ruth resting, and we're going to get into that maybe if we'll get to that part where she rests at the feet of Boaz, because you know what? You can't give yourself the Holy Ghost. It's got to be the Redeemer, God Almighty in human flesh, had to come and die to give you the new birth. You can't give it to yourself.
That's right.
So you just rest. Why? Jesus said, come all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's not a certain day. Even Paul says, there's not a certain day. Not the Sabbath. The rest is what? Brother Brown said the rest was the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right? Then your placing or adoption, Ruth is rewarded for going through the journey and accepting all these things that we're going to talk about. And she's rewarded with what? A child.
Right.
With a child. And that child, through that child's lineage,
yes,
comes Christ.
Amen.
David, all the way down. All right? It's going to be interesting right here in just a second. But then you got your four combat beasts, your lion, ox, man, and the eagle. Now, what's the eagle age?
Right.
The eagle age is the highest age. It's where everything, you get up higher, where you can see the mountain, and you can see that we need to come to adoption, because if the Son of Man come to adoption, we have to come to adoption. And listen, it wasn't the Son of God needed to be adopted. Son of God's Father. The Son of Man needed to be adopted to show that me and you need to be adopted. Are adopted, are placing, may we say either one, because we're going to talk about maybe next Sunday or the Sunday after how that's what happened in the Old Testament with Joshua. Moses took him to a certain place and he could see the promised land, but Joshua, the Holy Ghost or Christ, was the one that took the people over and positionally placed them in the land. What did he do? He rewarded the children of Israel by giving them a certain piece of property. Because remember, Abraham, everywhere the sole of your feet touches, that's your possession. Well, now from Abraham, Isaac to Jacob. Jacob was Israel. So the children of Israel gets this blessing. They get rewarded. Same way with you and I. Oh, no doubt we get rewarded by having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No doubt. That's God. That's eternal life. But God wants you to do more. Has God ever went backwards? No. Man goes backwards. We backslide. God can't backslide. God keeps moving. He keeps moving. Everything keeps moving forward. That's why God had to send us a prophet in the end time, a word prophet, to what? Pull us into a higher plane, to pull us. Oh, my, it's hard. I was telling them at Sunday school, it's hard going up a hill when there's nothing there to go get. But when there's something up there, if there's a big gold nugget as big as this room, it's a lot easier. You'll crawl, scratch, push, pull. But if there's nothing up there, well, we know there is. We know there is what? A body change waiting us on the top of that mountain.
Amen.
No death is waiting us on the top of that mountain. So the four combat beasts, you got four stages of what we're talking about, Ruth, four combat beasts. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, so we good with that. Now let's go to the first quote. Brother Branham on the Kinsman Redeemer, this is a good one to read if you want to read about the book of Ruth. But Brother Branham says that this story was written. I want to just give you, this is the background because we're going to teach a little bit on each one of the characters in the book of Ruth. I think somebody just, you said you read the book of Ruth. You just read the book of Ruth? Okay. All right, well, you're fixing to get an expanded version. And this story was written in all the old manuscripts when they were segregating the Bible, the holy men, when they were trying to put it together. Do y'all realize there's books out there that they didn't put in? There was book of Job, book of Maccabees. There was a book of something else that was not included because the holy men said, no, that's not. In other words, it was the Holy Ghost telling, because we know it was. The Holy Ghost telling them. But what? This book of Ruth was one of the outstanding books that they accepted. Why? If it's just a love story, why would the writers and ancient sages accept this book as inspired? Because remember, every book in the Bible is inspired. Right. Even Esther, even all of this book here. Right. Watch what he said, though. Because there's a hidden revelation in it. And in this hidden revelation, you catch the real meaning, and it'll bring you closer to God. So everybody that wants to be closer to God, amen, we're fixing to get it. Because that's what he said. You catch the real meaning. So we're going to catch today, I hope we'll catch the real meaning. I pray my whole soul this morning that God will catch every heart so spellbound till he'll reveal himself just what he is in this story. Because it's a story of a natural person. It's an example to us what he is to you, how to accept him. So how do you accept Christ? You got to go through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? And when you once see it, it's so simple, you wonder how you ever went over the top of it, but it can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. Amen? So we're right on it, right? All right, so now we're going to start into the book of Ruth. If you'll pull Ruth chapter 1. And remember, Ruth is in four parts. I kind of got a little bit I want to tell you about, a little background on Ruth. You know, Ruth is one of the four women that there's a lineage in the book of Matthew. There's a lineage of so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so. Well, there's only four times in that lineage from Abraham to Christ that there's four women inserted. All the other one is Solomon begot Boaz and Boaz. But right in there it says Tamar, Rahab, Ruth. Now remember, you got to remember, who is Rahab? Right. She's Gentile, right? Gentile prostitute. But she marries Salmon, which is Boaz's mom and daddy. And then Boaz marries a Moabitess. Look how many people. See, that's why the Jews, sometimes they don't understand the Old Testament. Because there's so many Gentiles put into the, inserted into that lineage. They're going, this has got to be pure. God told us we're not supposed to deal. And then here comes Salmon. He marries a prostitute. They have a baby called Boaz. He types Christ. He marries a woman called Ruth, and she's a Moabitess, and she's the type of the bride. So you can't really figure God out. But this is what's going to happen. Look, she's one of the four women in the lineage of Christ, which would be Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Mary, obviously. All right. Now remember, before we get started, chapter 1 is deciding. All right. Ruth's got to make a decision. Abram had to make a decision. And remember now, we got to keep them separated to get the story right. Now, Naomi and her husband Elimelech are Jews. Okay? They lived in Bethlehem, Judea. What a place to live. What a place to begin the story. But now watch, just as Abram had to leave his country because of a famine, they're fixing to have to do the same thing. Everybody got that? So then you've got Ruth and Orpha. Ruth and Orpha are Moabites. So they're Gentiles. You got Naomi, Mary, and Elimelech, and they have two children named Mahlon and Chilion. All right, and we'll get into what their names mean in a minute. But we'll read it. But I want you to keep that in your mind that Ruth is a Moabite. Orpha is a Moabite. Naomi is a Jew, and Elimelech is a Jew, because you got to see the types here. Everybody got that? All right. Now, in chapter 1, let's start. And remember, now, we're typing justification. And you need to put, can you pull that one back up where it says Ruth chapter 1? Because I want you to, maybe you can see this a little better now. Right here where it says Ruth chapter 1, deciding Naomi, old Jewish church. What'd you do with that? Okay. So here we got your four. If you want to write these down or if you want to just remember them. In chapter 1, now Boaz doesn't show up till later on, but Naomi is going to be a type of the old Jewish church. Everybody got that? Naomi is a type of the old Jewish Orthodox church. Orpha is a type of the denominational church, because you're going to see her. She's going to try to make a decision, but once Naomi really pressures her, she turns and goes right back into her denominational church. Okay, so she made a decision. It was the wrong one, but she made that decision. Ruth is a type of the Gentile bride. It says, wherever you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God. I'll be right here with you the whole time. Then Boaz is absolutely, we know that Boaz is a type of Christ. Has everybody got that? So there's your four. Now we know there's one or two inserted in there. We're going to see one that's going to type the devil. But those are your four main characters. Even Mahlon, Chilion, and Elimelech, they all die. Because remember, think about this. To begin your story. Now, you're married to somebody else. Right? The devil. Your old husband's got to be dead before you can do something. So the old husbands have got to be dead of every one of these for them to make a decision. So now let's go back to Ruth chapter 1 and go, if that's all right, we'll go verse by verse. Is that okay? Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now remember, there was no prophets on the scene. This was in the time of the judges. That there was a famine in the land. Now what happened in Abram's time? Same thing comes up. God calls Abram. He gets up and gets ready to leave. He goes over into Canaan. And they're already in Bethlehem. They're in the promised land. This man named Elimelech and Naomi. But when the famine comes, remember I told you about a famine. What do you got to do? You got to make a decision. A famine makes you make a decision to stay or move. Well, they got up and moved. And their first problem was, same way with Brother Brown said about Abram, his first problem was he got up and went to Egypt, top of the world. First thing they did, they went from Bethlehem, the promised land of God, to a gaggy place, Brother Brown calls it. Because you know what happened with Moabite? The Moabites come from Lot and having relationship with his own two daughters. And Brother Brown said it's been a gaggy thing ever since. That's what he says. I didn't bring that quote, but Brother Brown calls it a hair in the biscuit. As Southerners, we would know that. If he was preaching to people up in the north, they probably wouldn't know what that was. But you know, it's like finding a hair in your food. Yeah. That's what he's talking about. A hair in the biscuit. You find a hair in your... Well, see, that's what he said. This is two promised children leaving the promised land and heading down into Egypt, or heading down into Moab. All right, so they went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. Now, Elimelech means my God is king. I'll read the ones on here. If you got a Scofield Bible, it's right in the middle of it. Bethlehem, Judea is the house of bread. We know what that is. Bethlehem means the house of bread, or the house of God's bread. Because remember, they got to come back. They got to come back to that. You and I have to come back to that. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. Now, Naomi at this moment means pleasant. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judea. Now, Mahlon means, I don't know if I'd marry this guy or not. The Mahlon means sick. Chilion means pining, a whiner. Okie dokie then. But they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Now remember, she's a Jew. But their boys took wives of the women of Moab, which was Orpha. Orpha means hind or fawn. In other words, a baby. A hind or a fawn is a baby animal. And the name of the other was Ruth. And Ruth means friendship or beauty. And they dwell there about 10 years. So they dwell there for a while. Now remember, they got to make a decision though. Because now Mahlon and Chilion died. Also both of them and the women were left of her two sons and her husband. Now you know the old story. The story back in the Old Testament is that if the brother died without having children, his other brother or the mother had to have another son. And that's what she's fixing to tell him. She said, Naomi's going, I'm old now. You're going to wait on me. I don't know if I got another kid in my womb, another man. So she makes them make a decision. That's why God has, you come to a place, just like we talked about in Abram. You come to a place in justification where you got to make a decision. You have, and she, they both had to decide when she arose with their daughters-in-law. Now remember, they're daughters-in-law, so they're Moabites and she's a Jew. Yeah. All right? that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people. See, God started putting everything back in Bethlehem because they got to make a decision to go back there. Because remember, Abram went into Egypt. Remember, all those things happened down there, and he had to come back out and go back into Canaan. So this is the perfect type of Abram and the believer, and the book, and Ruth is doing the same thing. To me, Ruth is closer because Ruth is a female, and that's all of us. We're bride. We're female. We're a Gentile bride, all right? Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you. In other words, she's not rebuking them. She's saying, look, the Lord grants you that may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Because remember, the only thing they had was their husbands were dead. They didn't have no inheritance in Judah. All their inheritance, they were Moabites. They had to go back and find their Moabite parents, and that's where they had an inheritance. They had no inheritance going to Judah. Everybody okay with that? Same way with you and I. If you don't make a right decision, you go right back into the world where you were in. Amen? The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Now look, they both said right here, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee and to thy people. Now watch Naomi. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? In other words, they're going to have to wait 16 or 17 more years. And they were going to be 16 or 17 more years older. Even if Naomi could find a husband and have a child, it may not even be a boy. So Naomi is giving them the worst case scenario. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Now look, Orpha is taking this all in with circumstances. Amen? She's taking this all in with all these circumstances. How many times have we talked about circumstances? Ruth is going, don't care. I'm going back with you. Orpha's going, well, I got to wait 17 more years. I'll probably be gray-headed, and I'll probably be too old to have it. And you understand? Circumstances. That's what the devil's going to do. He's going to give you circumstances. And he did the same thing with Orpha. He gave her circumstances. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone against me. Now, in her grief, the Lord's right there on the scene. because he's right in this whole plan. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. In other words, Orpha kissed her, kissed the old Jewish church and said, I'm going back because that's what I like. I like to go back that way. Kind of like Lot's wife that got turned into a pillar of salt. She did come out for a little way, but you know what she done? She turned and looked because she liked it back there rather than keep on going with Lot. Same way with Ruth. Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and to her gods. Gods. Now see, Abram could have made that same decision. Abram could have said, yeah, I think I'll go back and make my idols. Remember we talked about that. It'd be a good, safe place to go. Circumstances. But Abram said, no, we're going this way. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back into her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people, here's the decision, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. My God will be your God. That's why, listen, folks, that's why that when we make a decision, we're making a decision, listen to me, based on the old Jewish, because that's Jehovah God, one. Not these three God things that we got now and all this other stuff. We're going back when we receive, when we, as Christians, when we walk with God, we're telling the Jews, what Brother Bram tell that Jew? The Jew said, well, we don't cut him up in three pieces. Brother Bram said, well, I don't either. He said, well, bless you, son. Why? Because that's the original. Right. And the Old Testament is the original Jehovah God, right, one God, that we're supposed to follow. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She had made such a decision, right, till wherever Naomi's going, I'm going with you. Right. All right? Now remember, though, she had zero inheritance. Yep. Zero inheritance. Because her husband had died. They had no children to pass that inheritance on to. All right. Naomi's husband had died, but she had inheritance. The original Jews still have inheritance. I'm telling you, God's not going to forget them. They're going to get that land in the millennium. Whatever they've done in the past has been forgiven. That's justification. They put him on a cross, and he still forgave them. So they're going to get an inheritance. But you and I are the wife. Because remember, Naomi wasn't the wife to Boaz. Ruth was the wife to Boaz. We get Christ. Naomi gets a blessing. Naomi gets called under redemption. Naomi gets all of her possession back. But she never gets Boaz. You and I get Boaz. Amen? What a beautiful picture. When she saw that she was steadfast, that's what God wants. He wants to know if you know that you know. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Now, what? This is so beautiful. Brother Mark, did you get this? What time did they get to Bethlehem? So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Now they're heading back. They come back. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. They said, is this Naomi? She's back. Remember, she'd been gone for 10 years. She'd been out of the picture. She's going back to her homeland. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Because Mara means bitter. Remember the Mara water, the bitter waters. Brother Bram tells us, I didn't bring all the quotes, but Brother Bram tells us at that point that Naomi is looking across Jerusalem and she's crying. She's crying. She's coming back home. This is what I got written in my Bible that Brother Brown said. The Jews are returning to their homeland. Right here. This is the Jews returning to their homeland saying, I'm back in the promised land, because God's not going to deal with them until they come back to the promised land. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? All those years, you can say, the Jews can say, hey, I was killed by the millions during Hitler. I went out full with a promise, but I'm coming back empty. But God says, don't worry about it. I got you covered. This is just chapter one of four chapters of this story. Don't worry, because I'm going to bring you right back into the end. Because you see, Naomi, from this point forward, Naomi is kind of speaks every once in a while and kind of nudges Ruth in the... But at the very end, she comes back into what? Because remember, Boaz doesn't redeem Ruth first. He has to redeem Naomi first to get Ruth. He had to redeem Israel first. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. But knowing that he was going to get a Gentile bride out of it. Amen. So Naomi turned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. Now, they're come back to Bethlehem when?
Amen.
At the beginning of the harvest. Right. Not at the beginning of the planting. This is the beginning of the latter rain.
Right.
Harvest.
Right.
That's me and you.
Right.
We've come back to Bethlehem. We've come back to our promised land at the beginning of the harvest.
Right.
Because God's getting ready right now to take what? Harvest.
Right.
Harvest us. But two, you got to see the types, because barley means life. They've come back now to where they're going to take life and make bread out of it.
Amen.
Oh, it's a beautiful picture. Man, it's wonderful. Wonderful picture. So now let's go to Ruth chapter 2. Because remember, Ruth chapter 2 is what? You got to keep looking now. Ruth chapter 2. That one, chapter one, was deciding. That was justification. She had to make a decision. She had to go with God.
Right.
She went with Naomi, who was going with God. So you got to keep Naomi in there.
Right.
But now remember, here is where the connection is. Because remember, Christ came to his own, and his own received him not. Because, look, the nearer kinsman was to Naomi, not to Ruth.
Right, exactly.
The nearer kinsman was to Naomi, the Jew, not to Ruth. Remember, even God tells them, says, look, don't even go out there to those Gentiles.
Right.
Go to my people. Because remember, he had to come to them first.
Right.
He had to come this first because he wrote this.
Right.
And he knew what this type was. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, Boaz is the one that does the redeeming, right? He's the kinsman redeemer. Now, I like what Brother Brown says, too. He says, look, he said, it couldn't just been just any kinfolk.
Right.
This guy's got to be wealthy.
Right.
He's got to own the whole world. He couldn't be just somebody that made a scratched off a living. No, this guy that she met had to be the king of the world. So Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. Now remember, we're getting into what? Ruth, serving. This is sanctification, cleaned and set aside for service. Watch what Naomi does with Ruth. Because watch, Ruth is fixing to come into the picture, and Naomi's going to step to the side. Because you know what? She's still there. Boaz is the only kinfolk she has near her kinsman at the moment. I said at the moment because you got to let the story unfold. Because remember, there was one in between that we got to deal with in a little while, not right now. All right? And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And Naomi said unto her, go, my daughter. Now remember, she had no guidance where to go. Naomi didn't say, go get in this field right here. But watch what happened. And she went, Ruth, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, you know what that word means? Her fortune. Her happenstance. She didn't just happen upon this field. Brother Brown says in one quote I got here, she was led by the Holy Ghost to go to that field. Just like you and I are led by the Holy Ghost to go to a certain place. Amen? Because remember, we're in sanctification. And she went and came and gleaned in the field. Now, what's she doing? She's picking up food. Brother Brown says one time, I didn't bring all the quotes so we can might get finished with this. If not, that's okay. Where Brother Brown says she was poor. Look, when Naomi comes back with Ruth dragging along behind her, she don't have no possession. She's been 10 years gone. Her property's been sold. It's been probably chopped up in different ways. Her house is... She don't even have a house to go to. They have to find a little rent shack somewhere. And Naomi's so old, she's sending little young Ruth to work. That's what Brother Brown says. It's in the quote right here. She had to work. He said, I like that. He said, a believer. Said, when you first start out, you're poor. You know what I mean? Poor. So you have to work. You have to work at it. Sanctification is a work. Right. Justification is a work. Right. Oh, we think, well, no, God should have just brought right and just laid that barley down right at her feet. No, you got something to do with it. Right. You're still deciding, but you got to serve before God can see, because at this point in time, Boaz doesn't know Ruth. Doesn't know who she is yet. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from where? Where was Christ born? Bethlehem. Okay. And said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And Brother Bram talks about the reapers being angels and the reapers being preachers. She gets in the right field, hears the right sermon. Pretty good, huh? Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, who is this church coming up here? Who is this? Who is this woman that's, she looks a little different than the rest of these people that I've been dealing with. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel. Now, right there, most people would have said, whoa. Yeah, no, I ain't dealing with that woman. She's a Gentile. But no, Boaz saw her character. He saw her character and heard from her servants that she was a virtuous woman. You'll see this coming on a little bit further. It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi. Boom. Boaz says, I'm kin to Naomi. She's lost everything she's got. And she's brought this beautiful lady that's not out there saying, bless God, I'm going to take all the food out of your field and the reapers get behind me. No. She waits till the reapers get finished and she goes by and picks up just enough for her and Naomi to make cakes with, as Brother Ram will tell you, makes cakes with, mashes her the corn up and makes cakes for them to survive, barely survive. It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers. Now, this is Ruth talking to the reapers. She walks into this field, humble, virtuous, humble woman, the true church, and says, I'll just take what's left. Just give me what's left. So she came and hath continued. Look, this, I'm just going to say it. And she continued even from the morning until now. And she tarried a little while. She rested a little bit, but she's been working since sunup. She comes to every service. She reads her Bible. She studies. Boaz is looking at the character, but he's listening from the servants that's been in the field with her the whole time. What kind of woman this is? Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Don't go listen to another preacher. Oh, that's what Brother Brown says. That's why I got all these quotes laid out here. If you need them, I got them right here. But Brother Brown says, you're in my field. You don't need to go to another field. You don't need to get fed in four or five different fields. You need to get fed in my field. So any, what I'm saying is not here. I'm just saying any Holy Ghost preacher that preaches the Word of God, you need to be in their field. You need to be in their field, not jumping from one field to the other. Because look, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Remember, she's a virtuous woman. And when thou art thirst, go unto the vessels. 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 And drink water which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Look how humble. She's not doing this out of spite. She's not doing this because she's doing it because she said, why in the world? Because remember, she doesn't know who Boaz is. She's only in sanctification. She don't know everything about her mate yet. Naomi's got the connection. Because remember, she's going to go back home and tell Naomi here in just a few minutes, hey, Naomi's like, where'd you get all this word? Where'd you get all this food? Oh, I just happened to be in this field of this man they call Boaz. And then Naomi's like, oh, Lord, the hand of God. This is my kinfolk. My nearest kin. How'd you find him? That's a beautiful picture. I'm telling you. You just keep gleaning and gleaning out of this thing. And Boaz answered and said unto me, look, it has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. Somebody has told him a story. Remember, the Holy Ghost comes and tells the Father, this is a good son, this is a bad son. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. What? To lead us and guide us into all truth. Right. And what? To show our character. Because right. We're talking about character here. Because remember, Boaz does not really know who she is until somebody tells him who she is. Now look, since the death of thine husband, oh, her denominational husband's dead.
Right.
So I can marry her now. He's got that in his plan and in his mind because she's beautiful. She's virtuous. Nobody said one word bad about her. That's sanctification, cleaned and set aside for service. Hey, man, this is just, to me, it's just, you just sit there and read it and you keep writing notes and keep writing notes and keep writing notes. But watch this. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity. You made a decision to turn and go in another direction and headed right straight toward Boaz, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work. Oh, my. Work, sacrifice, serving, sanctification. God wants to. Why did God give you a new spirit? He didn't give you the Holy Spirit. He gave you a new spirit. What? See if you'd come to church. Right. See if you would pray. See if you would study. See if you would do the things of God. Amen? Right. Not for God's benefit, but for ours. Amen. So Boaz is watching Ruth to see, I wonder if she'll show up to church tomorrow. I wonder if she'll show up to this field again tomorrow. Well, you know what? She comes back every day. She shows her virtue by her actions. Then she said, let me find favor. Oh, I'm sorry. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, capital L-R-D, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Under eagle's wings are you covered. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. Lord, let me be worthy. of what you've given me, even in sanctification. Let me be worthy of what you've given, this new spirit you've gave me, this new field that I'm gleaning out of now, this new word that I'm... I've been in a famine down in the world, but now you put me in the right field, and I'm in the right position, and I'm in the right place, and I'm hearing the right word, and I'm what? I'm growing in God. Amen. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like any of thine handmaids." In other words, like Brother Ram says, he says, look, you start wearing a dress, you quit cutting your hair, you quit wearing makeup. You guys quit going to the bars, you quit. That's sanctification.
Right.
You're in a new group of people. You're not like that other group of people.
Right.
You're in a new group of people.
Right.
And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thy hither," at time when it's time to eat. "And eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." Not just come and glean. She's got all this she's got to carry back and beat it up and make flour and make meal. No, he's saying, come unto me.
Right.
I've got already the bread made. I've already got this vinegar here. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn.
Right.
And she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." Because remember, God made a provision for poor people in the Old Testament. Remember, in the fields, you were supposed to cut the corner. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You have a corner like this. You're supposed to glean like this and leave a corner for the poor. And they could go in and they could glean. He's given her the whole field. You just go right behind the reapers, and whatever they drop, don't be out in the corners over there just getting a little bit of word.
Right.
No, get out here in this field.
Amen.
And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose. We've heard the songs of handful of purpose. Watch Brother Branham. Brother Branham tells us, he says, God drops you a little revelation.
Right.
God drops you a little revival. God drops you a little stimulation. God drops your revelation in your field. And he actually says handfuls on purpose. God drops little handfuls of purpose through the reapers, through the what? Through the preachers. Every once in a while when you come to church. I said every once in a while because you may not get something every time you come to church. But every once in a while, the reaper or the gleaners, the preachers, the Sunday school teachers, the deacons, the elders, is going to lay you a little bit, a handful of purpose every once in a while. They're going to give you a little revelation. And leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field, not in the corner. She gleaned in the field until the evening time. And she took what she had harvested. You got to go beat it out somewhere. Zach, me, all of us in sanctification, you got to go somewhere and you got to beat it out. Whatever food you get, you got to beat it out. There comes a place where you got to beat it out, man. You what? You're fighting with the devil. You fight with that old nature. You fight, but you're going to what? You're going to beat it out so that you can eat. And let her fall some handful to purpose and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. And she gleaned in the field until the evening time, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. In other words, she's heading back home. And her mother-in-law, Naomi the Jew, saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her gave to her that she had reserved after she was finished eating. And her mother-in-law said, "Where in the world did you get all this food?" Right? And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." She don't know it's her kinfolks yet. You know what? The old Orthodox church is watching us now. The old Jews are watching us. Remember, Brother Brown says they think he's coming back for them and he's coming back to get us. Well, that's what's happening. The old mother-in-law said, "Where'd you get this revelation? Where'd you get all this food?" Through two witnesses, they're going to get that food. Amen? Because God's going to leave us and go them. That's why we're at the very end of this thing. You're going to see Naomi. She's going to get the baby that Boaz and Ruth have. And the Bible says she becomes the nurse. So in other words, she becomes the wet nurse. She becomes the one that feeds the baby while Naomi and Ruth are out of the picture. Well, that's great. What a picture. And we may not get to it. I'm going to try to stop at 2:30. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "This man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." In other words, you know what happened? Luis? Ruth comes in and lays down what she had got. And Naomi says, "Where'd you get those scars?" There in Jeremiah, wherever it is. "Where did you get those scars?" In other words, where did you get all this? Because she says, "In the house of my friends." And then Naomi's like, "No, that's my near kinsman. That's not just somebody out in the field. That's my near kinsman. That guy can get me out of the trouble I'm in." And that's what they're going to say when we leave. Through two witnesses, they're going to realize that they're Boaz. Right. Oh, come on, people. That their Boaz has took Naomi. But in taking Naomi, they forgot about Ruth.
Yeah.
Where'd you get those scars? In the house of my friends. And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they may meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest. And dwelt with her mother-in-law. What a great picture, though, of Ruth serving or going through sanctification. You watch all the whole process that went through. Same thing Abram went through. Abram had to go what? Abram had to, God tells him to bring three rams and three this and three that and bring this and bring a sacrifice. And then he looks at what? And it is. Listen, I was going to mention this the other day. Brother Brown preached works as faith expressed. Now remember, just your works alone is not going to do it. But if you're working or serving or heading toward a goal of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is your works. Because he was looking at Ruth's works. He had no history on this girl at all. Now Naomi, he had history because it was family. It's like me and Brother Danny, we're not brothers' blood. But I know Dale, and I know Pete, and his sister some, but more the guys. But now, don't walk up to me and tell me, say, "Well now, what did Dale do 25 years ago at so-and-so place?" I go, "I don't know, he's not my family. Go ask Danny." And Danny could say, "Dale was so-and-so fishing some," and he could tell you the whole story. That's what I'm saying with this. Same with you and I. It's not that God didn't know who you are, but there was a time you were alienated. Amen? I didn't want God to see what I did. Remember, Brother Brown said there's a what? There's a covering of blood all around the world, and he only hears your voice. Because if he sees what we've done, he would have killed us when we were little. Not little babies. I'm talking about when we first started sinning. He would have just said, "All right, that's it." But no, he didn't know who you were. Because you weren't part of his family. But once you come into the family, and if you go ask Danny about his brothers, he'd tell you because his family, they were there. Same way with what? God was there with Israel all the way down through that Old Testament. But he had to divorce her to get a Gentile bride. Because why? She went whoring. And when she went whoring, she took on another husband, and he couldn't take her back. Everybody okay with that? It's a really beautiful, beautiful picture. So let's go to Ruth chapter 3. And this is Ruth resting. We may get to right here and just stop. I'd like to finish it all, but we don't have to. But just remember what God's telling us. I wanted to read something real quick. Oh. In chapter 3, we see Boaz and Ruth finally come together. So now what is the third stage of your journey? It's when you and Christ come together. Now remember, in the natural story, nothing happens fleshly. You gotta be careful with your types. They didn't become married until just a little bit at the very end of this part. All right. But watch what happens, and I'll read to you what Brother Branham talks about here in chapter 3, because you have to blend chapter 3 and 4 together, because like Brother Dale's always said, like I've always said, there's only three works of grace. Right. So you can't say there's four definite works. There's only three.
Right.
Justification, sanctification, baptism, and holy. But what you do after that is that fourth stage. It's the stage. So what am I saying? That Ruth 3 and 4 chapter both kind of blends together.
Yeah.
But you got to have 3 first.
Right.
You got to have Boaz doing the work of a kinsman at the end of the chapter after what she does. And I love this, what she does here. We got to get into it. So look. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter. So what? Because what do we do? Remember, I just told you in 1 Corinthians, we look back at the Old Testament and see types. We look back in the Old Testament, the old mother, Naomi, we look back toward Naomi and get our types to tell us how to deal with things, to tell us how to live. The Ten Commandments are in the Old Testament. The women supposed to not wear pants is in the Old Testament. But y'all be careful when you tell people that and they say, oh, that's in the Old Testament. I say, well, the Ten Commandments is too. You want to just do away with them? You want to just do away? If you just want to do away with the Old Testament, do away with all of it. That's the way I always try to trap them. If you start your conversation and say, look, you know me. You say, do you believe in the Ten Commandments? Oh, yeah. You ever Christians going to say, I believe in the Ten Commandments. I put them out there on my lawn. Them Ten Commandments, they're the voice of God. And you just really lay it in there and then say, now, what about Deuteronomy 29 says a woman's not supposed to wear a garment pertaining to man? They say, well, that first thing they'll say, well, that's in the Old Testament. And I'll go, let's go back about 5 minutes. So we're going to do away with the whole Old Testament? There's where your Ten Commandments is at. So anyway, just kind of, you can't, at least you get them to thinking. But the Old Testament, to me, is all the beautiful types. Because when you get in the New Testament, it's us. It's Jesus. Bringing forth, like Brother Dale thought, you got John coming at the end of the Old Testament to introduce Christ. And he was the third coming of Elijah. Then we've had the fourth coming of Elijah come to do what? Introduce Christ through us to the world. So the same type just keeps on going. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now look, and now is not Boaz of our kindred. Now watch, Naomi, all the types and shadows and all the things in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, and I'm just saying this now, not with that, but you know what? Naomi's not thinking that, but this is what we can think now, that Naomi's going, hey, we've got this rich heritage, and I've been separated from it. Right? Naomi's husband was dead. She had to sell everything she had. Ruth could not connect her back at that point. Because Ruth had we as Gentiles had nothing. We don't have a promise. But Naomi does. So Naomi has to say, look, Boaz is our link here. And now is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast. In other words, out in the field. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor.
Right.
I love what Brother Brown said. Brother Brown said, look, Christ is what? The Lord of the harvest. And when you go to winnow, it's in one of these quotes. I'll read it. Maybe I'll stop here after this and we'll redo it next Sunday and we'll go back on some of these quotes. He said there Boaz was. He wasn't just Lord of the harvest. He was laying on top of the whole harvest. Because yeah. he comes to a place, he lays down on the threshing floor. He'd probably been working for, listen, he's been working for 6,000 years. You know? He's been working. But yeah, Brother Brown says it's there. Said Naomi walks in. I mean, Ruth walks in, and there the Lord of the harvest is laying on the whole harvest. In other words, he's up on top of the heap. He's up on top of the heap. He's got it all covered. And it looks like a bad thing that Naomi's going to do, but it's the most perfect, Ruth, it's the most perfect thing that Ruth could have done. Because watch your types. We'll get to this real quick, and then we'll stop right here. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maiden thou wast. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore. In other words, come on, you got to get yourself clean. You've coming through sanctification. You're coming back to the end of sanctification. You're getting ready to rest. You're getting ready to let Boaz. You're getting ready to let the man do the job. But you still got to be clean.
Right.
Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee. Whoa! And put thy raiment upon thee. In other words, don't go in there with a bunch of rags on.
Right.
But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking.
Yeah.
In other words, he's going to be strong. He's going to have eat. He's not going to be hungry. He's going to have drank. And it shall be when he lieth down. That's what Brother Ram says. He lieth down right on top of the whole heap of the harvest. Because he's the Lord of the harvest. That thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet. And lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do.
Amen.
And she said unto her, I ain't doing that. I ain't going into no man and lay down at his feet. His feet probably stinks. You're telling me to clean up. You see what I'm talking about? She had the right attitude. She said, whatever. All the types in the Old Testament, all the shadows, all the sacrifices, all of what we're talking about today. She went down, she said, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Amen? Can you say that? All that you said to me, Lord, Old Testament, New Testament, up to this day, will you be able to do what I'm telling you to do? How about that? Brother Bram says he's laying on the whole heap of the harvest. Now watch where she goes. She goes and lays down at his feet. Now she's not ready to marry him yet. Get the story. She's not laying up there where he's at. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? I know we're all men in here. You understand? She's not. She ain't go get into bed with him.
Right.
Watch her position.
Right.
Her position is humility.
Right.
To lay at a man's feet, to lay at anybody's feet,
right,
is humility.
Yeah.
She shows humility. She went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. In other words, she did all the Ten Commandments. She did all the things that the old Jewish mother told her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Now look, she wasn't ashamed to do this.
Right.
And it came to pass at midnight. Brother Brown said it was a dark hour.
Oh, yeah.
That the man was afraid. Now this is the natural story of Boaz because he didn't know who she was at the time. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. So what's going through Boaz's mind? There's a connection here. Even in the natural story, Boaz is like, there's a connection here. Why is she here and not Naomi? What's she doing here? And not Naomi, because Naomi's who I'm kin to.
Right.
But Brother Brown said he was so in love with her till he took, I'm going to paraphrase it here. He threw the Holy Spirit veil over her. Because he said, blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end, latter day, than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, fear not. Now, what's the first thing Jesus says when he comes? Fear not.
Amen.
Fear not, I'm come to do this. I will do to thee all that thou requested, for all the city of my people doth know that thou... Now, look. In your Christian journey, that's why God's going to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because look, the whole community knows that you've changed.
Right.
The whole community knows that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there's a kinsman nearer to I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning. In other words, he's saying, look, you rest. You stay right here. Because you can't do anything about it. You have no connection. I have the connection now. I'm going to go tomorrow, and I'm going to take Naomi's possession. But let me tell you something, sweetheart. Naomi's not going to be my bride. You are. Because I put this Holy Ghost veil over you, and you've what? You're pure. You're virtuous. Brother Brown tells us that we're what? The virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's put that Holy Ghost veil over her. And listen, what does feet mean?
Yeah.
Brother Brown tells us in about 6 or 8 quotes. Feet means possession.
Right.
Now you say, where are you going with that? I'll go with that and then we're going to stop. I said to stop right here at 6:30. Because he's going to do the part of the kinsman.
Yeah.
You ever thought of this? If footprints means possession, he told Abraham, wherever you sole your feet, that's where you will possess this land. Even God tells us in the New Testament, I believe it's in Corinthians, that blessed are the feet of the ones that carry the gospel. So it's always, remember I preached that a long time ago about washing the feet. Jesus said, you don't have no problem with me if you don't wash feet. That's pretty strong, but you know what? I'm just telling you what God said. If you don't wash feet, then you got a problem. You can't be a servant and not be a servant. You can't have Jesus Christ in your life because you become a servant then. So watch what this is. What did Jesus do when he was taken into Pilate's hall? I was thinking about this just a few minutes ago. Think about this. This is the king of the harvest. This is the Lord of the whole earth. This is the guy that gold doesn't mean anything to him. It's pavement. But he had to come down in human flesh and be made what? Into a servant. He had to be made into a human being so that he could take what? He couldn't take our place as the Son of God. He couldn't take our place. That's Spirit God. He had to become, as Brother Dale told me, he had to become human flesh. You know what he had? He had human feet. But those human feet contained God. So what happened in Pilate's hall? They stripped that man of all of his clothes except for a loincloth. So there was his bare feet. And as he walked up Golgotha, he said, this is mine.
Right.
He walks up. They put him on a cross. His feet was lifted up off the earth, but he had walked. His little feet had walked right up to that cross and turned.
Right.
Not dragging, not pulling, not stomping.
Nope.
He walked right up there, and he laid down on that cross.
Right.
And as we're going to see next Sunday, Boaz lifted up his shoe.
Right. Yes.
And he said, I have redeemed.
Right.
And then listen to this. That man died on the cross for me and you. His blessed feet never touched the ground until the day of the resurrection.
Right.
Then he gets out and he stands up in that tomb and he says, now this is mine.
Right.
I've conquered death. My feet go all the way up that hill. They carried me and put me in a tomb. But that can't hold me because when I turn myself off of this slat that I'm laying on, my feet is going to touch the grave.
Amen. That's right.
And now, remember what he says when he steps out? He says, all power
right.
in heaven and earth has been given unto me.
Glory.
Because my feet walked up that mountain. They drove nails through it. But now I'm going to walk out of this tomb. So I take death and hell.
Right.
Even his poor little bare feet went through hell. Remember, he went to hell. Went to hell, walked in. Brother Branham said he walked in hell and said, hey, give me the key. What a great Boaz we got. That's why Boaz had to take that shoe off, because that was possession. He bought everything that Naomi had lost. And in doing that, he got his beautiful Gentile bride. Let's stand to our feet. We'll talk about, we'll kind of cover this again next Sunday, and we'll read some more quotes. But God bless you. That to me, it's one of the prettiest stories of my redemption. I don't know about yours. You need to look at this for yourself. And you see that that's why that man, that's why that Ruth had to lay down at his feet. Because she laid everything she had, knowing that that man was going to get up and walk into that town. And remember, when you see this type, we'll see it next Sunday. Boaz didn't claim redemption in the city. Remember, Jesus was crucified outside the city. Boaz walks up to the gate of the city. What did the Bible say? You'll possess the gates. Abraham, your royal seed of Abraham will possess the gates of the enemy. Boaz walks up and takes his shoe off, and he stands there in his bare feet, and he says, I have done it. Right. Can't nobody else do it. There's a guy here, but he don't want nothing to do with it. We'll read what Brother Brown says about that a little bit later on next week. But Ruth deciding justification. Ruth serving sanctification. And then God, in the type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, she can't get it herself. She has to lay down and show her humility. And Brother Brown says, God just throws that Holy Ghost veil over the top of her and says, you just hang on right there. I got to go do a work for you. Because you can't get the Holy Ghost for yourself. I've got to be here to give it to you. So God bless you. Just read, if you want to, keep reading the book of Ruth and read the Kinsman Redeemer 1960. If you'll read that whole read that whole sermon, it'll really tell you a little bit more than what we covered. But thank God that the Lord gave the inspiration to put that in the Bible. Because it was just a regular book. I mean, I don't even think they know who wrote it. Ruth didn't write it. Somebody else wrote it, but they said, hey, this is an inspiration. And then by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, you and I can see now that it totally types all four characters as everybody we see. The denominational church, going back to denominations, the Gentile bride, Boaz being Christ, and Naomi being that church over there, or that, the Orthodox church, the Jewish church, that God's not going to forget. He's going right through us, taking a bride, going to have a child, and we're going to deliver that child right to, amen, back to Naomi. She's going to realize, though, that that child's the one that died for her. And through, not through us personally, but through the bride, because we're virtuous, and all these things that God said about Ruth, that Boaz said about Ruth, Naomi, the old church, is going to look back and say, oh, that was a virtuous woman. And now my Boaz has showed up to take 144,000 of us, as he promised us in the Testaments. He promised, so now here he is. Oh, what a time. Oh, what a time. They're going to cry and scream, and they're going to just have a jubilee. Amen. So let's sing a song. God bless you. God bless you sitting outside.
404.
All I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption.
Yes, he did. Amen.
On the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love him, love his holy.
She got Boaz. apostle didn't know he only have to wait a little while.
So redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart
thank you, Lord.
Will praise him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love him, love his holy name.
Think about all those types. All I want to do. There was a lady named Ruth in the Bible several thousand years ago, and she perfectly types what we're going through. What Abram went through to be changed to Abraham, Ruth went through the same stages. And remember, at the end, there's always a reward. There's always that reward, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a reward going up that statue of a perfect man. Oh, we got born again right here. Amen? But look at all that that's extra. Look at all that. That's mine and yours. That's what Ruth gets. Because remember, when she marries Boaz, she got everything Boaz got. She was right there in line, and then that baby they had was named Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse turns around and has David. And then that lineage continues right on down, the natural lineage to Christ. So, boy, what a story. I say I'd love to have been there, but you know what? If I'd have been standing there in Ruth's time, I probably wouldn't have understood what was going on. But I got the full story now.
Glory.
We can take all four chapters. That could have. I think it was 10 or 11 years is what the usher said that covers this whole time. But we've covered it in about an hour. So,
yes.
And we gleaned so much more. We got some handfuls of purpose.
Right.
I want buckets full. I don't want to get just a little handful.
Right.
I want to be where I can't even carry it.
Right.
And we're going to get into next Sunday where she gets six measures.
Right. Yep. Yes. Right.
She gets a sixfold purpose.
Right. Amen.
So we'll get into that next Sunday. God bless you.
Yes.
Love you with the love of the Lord. All minds are clear. Thank you for all coming. Like I said before now, just all the men, if you don't need to get a phone call from me, but all the men wants to come from now on, that would be fine. Just make sure we keep, just stay away from each other. We can't do that much. But yeah, we can do that now, I believe, and stay in the sanctuary. And then whatever the, we'll look around the community and just pray. You pray that Brother Dale, myself, and anybody that has a suggestion, we'd love to hear it. But we need to keep this thing at a good balance so that we don't become, we don't draw attention to us. Because we still listen. Jesus told them, said, give unto Caesar what's Caesar's. So we're giving God what's God today. We're giving Caesar what's Caesar's out there. So we just want to be safe, and we don't want to give the devil any time to play. Okay? But anybody that wants to come, the two services, or Sunday and Wednesday, but it still holds true on Sunday. I'm like Brother Dale. If you can't come to both services, you need to let me know. If somebody else wants to come. But if all the men will go ahead and come. Now I do ask you one thing. I forgot this, like if Brother Colley's listening in or Brother Darty or anyone that are older like that, if you're going to come, I don't mind you coming, but wear a mask if you do come. All right. Just to protect everything that we do. If not, I don't want to disclude the older crowd. We got one over here that's the oldest man in the building. So, I think since Brother Dick passed away, you're the oldest one, period, besides the sisters. We got a couple of sisters. So, but, the Lord's going to keep us all safe, I believe. But don't go run out there in the middle of the road. Don't go run out in front of the tractor trailer. It'd be your time. and you made it, right? So let's just do it. Brother Danny's always, this is nothing new to Brother Danny. Since he got sick back years ago and fell off the chicken house, he's washed his hands. That joke will wash his hands. When he washes his hands, he keeps washing his hands. I can't do it for 20. That's the longest 20 seconds in the world. They tell you now to wash your hands for 20 seconds. Oh, Lord. I think 2 seconds is about all I get, you know, but 20 seconds, but Brother Danny's always done it. He always had hand sanitizer, so he's kind of used to it. But let's all do that. Do the right thing. And pray. Pray every day that God give us wisdom in all this, okay? All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we've been given. We do praise your great name for the things that you've let us glean, Lord. You've told us what field. You've made yourself known. You've revealed yourself that, hey, I'm Boaz, and this is my field. The message of the hour is the field that we should be in, Father. And I pray, Lord, that all of us as Ruth would glean in that field, and there would be buckets full of purpose be given to each one of us, Lord. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us, Lord. Be with the ones that are out there in the world that are suffering. Father, we pray that you would save their soul, number one, Lord. But number two, would you, Lord, give them comfort in their body? Father, just forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make, Lord. Keep our pastor healthy, Lord. Keep this building strong. Lord, just keep that Holy Ghost veil as you threw that over over Ruth there in the Bible, Lord. We pray that you'll throw that thing over us, Lord, that Holy Ghost veil that'll keep us. And that we can stand in the end time. As Brother Dale was talking about going toward the Son of Man being prevalent. And that's you being in human flesh, Lord, being the prevalent one in this end time, Father, so that we can take a body change and get out of here. That's our top of the mountain. That's our peak. That's our barley harvest. That's all of the things that you showed us in type, Lord. And then through Abraham being changed, and so does Sarah be changed. Lord, we pray for that change. Number one, change on the inside. Number two, change on the outside. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Be with us on the highways on the way home. That we return back on Wednesday. Bless Brother Aaron, Lord. Give him strength. Be with each one, Lord, that's outside. Give them strength and courage, Father, to meet the challenge of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
All I want to do is love him. So glad I feel him.